This morning, Lord, and just glorify your name, Father. It's you and only you, Father, that stands above everything else, Lord God. You're the reason that we worship. You're the reason that we are here. God, it's all about you, Father. We just want to proclaim the name of Jesus in this place. We want to worship you, Lord. We want to bring you up, place you in our hearts, and just allow you to touch us and minister to us today, Father. We pray, Father, that your word would just become alive to us, Father. It will be something so amazing for us just to take home with us, Lord God. So many times we forget the power that we carry in our hands, Lord, the power that we carry in our handbags, the power that lies on a tabletop at home, maybe, Father. We just pray, Father, that you would just make your word alive to us, Father, that Bible school is a place, Father, where we meet you, Father, and the Bible is a place that describes you, Lord, describes you in intimate detail, Lord, every part of you, every part of your being, Lord, that the reason that you are for us, Lord, the God of life, Father, the creator of heaven and earth, Father. And we just want to glorify you for that, Lord. We want to, Lord, just come to that place of truth and knowing you, Father, as the ultimate truth, Lord, the ultimate symbol of love for us, Father. And that's who you are, Father. And we are so small, Father, in comparison to you, Father. And we can only begin to comprehend the greatness of you, Father. And we just pray, Father, that we get a glimpse, Father, of your amazing love, Father, for us, Lord, that we can experience it in this place. Father, I pray that your word will go out into people's heart, Lord God. Break down the doors, Lord, that's hiding away all the pain and suffering that we've endured, Father, through the years, Lord. We pray, Father, that you would enter with your light and your grace, Father. And just as we sang in our Father, that you take away our sins, our guilt, our pain, our suffering, Father. And you give us love, grace, and hope everlasting, Father. We thank you, Lord, for that amazing gift that you give to us, Lord, in the form of your Son, Lord, that hanged on a cross for us. And we can just glorify your name, Father, because there's nothing else that we can do to deserve, Father, what you've given to us, Father. But we can claim it, Lord, as ours, not because of what we are, what we've done, Father, but you give it to us as a gift. And we thank you, Lord, for that amazing gift, Lord. And that's what we want to proclaim here today, Father, the gift of Jesus Christ. We pray for revelation, Lord, of that gift in our lives, and we can just be so aware of it and realize what it stands for and what it means in our lives, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, where to begin? I was preparing a word for this morning, and then God just took the word and made it something else completely different to what I was wanting to bring. And it was just so amazing for me. And I hope I can just give you that same understanding of what God revealed to me. And I pray in my heart that I can bring it to you as well. And it will be something that touches you as it touched me. So it's something that, yeah, that really blessed me amazingly today. And it's just the small things that you realize as worship progresses, the words, the songs that are singing, the testimonies that are shared, the word that is just alive. And it's something so powerful that just brings it and makes it real in our lives. And it's just something that I was preparing in my heart, and it might be on the to know the truth. And it was something that I wanted to share because something God showed me as well. But then at one point I asked a question, and God just gave me an answer. And I just could not believe the simplicity of it. And we'll get to that at the end. But I'll go and continue from where I basically started until I got to this road, and God just took me on this side, and I said, okay, God, if this is where you want to go, I'll go there. And it's something that began with a question, rather, what is truth? And it's an amazing testimony that Philip and Simona shared as well of Bible school. That is such an amazing place for us as individuals to grow. And Philip so amazingly stated that it's a place where we meet Jesus. It's a place where we grow in relationship because we begin to understand the love letter that he wrote to us, the fullness of it, the actual meaning behind it. And it's something that we can trust. Because so many times that we look in this world and we look around us, and I've been doing that a lot because I'm looking not only in our local news, but I'm looking at global news. And there's lots of questions in my heart. If you look at things like ISIS that's happening around the world, that's impacting us to a lesser degree, thank God, but it could turn like that. It could change immediately. It is not something that is isolated to the north of Africa and the Middle East. It is something that is impacting the whole world, everywhere. Some places greater, some places less. And there are many questions that I ask according to this, but God, what is the purpose of this? Are you behind this, or are these misdirected people that's using something that they take as truth and compels them to do something that they feel in their hearts or think in their minds is right? And that just brought the question to my heart, what is truth? Sorry. And it was something that I like to proclaim. Sorry, I will not share any scripture. Not share any scripture. There is scripture, but I'll not read it. I'll read portions of it, and I can reference it for you. It might be up there if they prepared it fast enough. So, Sandra, no pressure. But I'll give you my notes. If I made a mistake somewhere, I apologize. But it wasn't a rush that I wanted to bring it to you. And it's just in that place that God, I just asked that question now, and now I'm totally off my story. Where was I? ISIS, no, but there was something out behind ISIS. Oh, yes. It was that question about ISIS, how they are radicals. And they would die for their cause, and which they do. We see that on the news almost daily, what they do. And I used to pride myself, but I'm a Christian. I must also die for my friends. And Jesus actually died for me. And it was something that I thought about, and I realized, but they're radicals. They also have that cause. They also die for what they believe in. So what makes them different to what I believe? And luckily, I think most of you might have an answer, but for some of you, I might even ask you the question, what is the difference between us as Christians and Islamic militant radicals? And there's an amazing answer to that just shows us that they are willing to kill people and themselves for what they believe. And Jesus was willing to kill himself so that we might live. And that for me was the cutting point to say, but that's the difference. Because they will kill and destroy for what they believe in. Jesus was willing to die for what he believed in, but that it might bring life and hope. And that's two totally contradicting worlds that we see today. But it's also based on the fact that we have to look at why these people are doing this. And that was where my sermon basically began. The question to know the truth. What is truth? Because for them, truth is something totally different to what I and you experience as truth, as fact. And what is that? What is truth? What is true in your life? What is fact in your life? And I love doing this because I'm asking questions, because do you know the answer? What is truth? We use words, and there's something so powerful and profound for me, because we use the words and we don't understand the meaning behind the words that we use. The meaning behind what we are saying when we are saying things. And that's an amazing part of where Jesus comes from. And I wish I was like that. I could say something that has tremendous amount of meaning and influence, but with purpose. Many times I just say things as it comes in my heart, and I don't even think about it a minute after I've said it. I can't remember even most of it. It's a hard part to realize, but I don't think Jesus was like that. He had words that had purpose, and he spoke them with purpose. And he spoke it because he wanted it to bring life. And that's where we basically start to look and ask questions, but who is Jesus? And what is the truth about Jesus? And again, this truth, true fact, words I've used now here in front, but I just took some time and I got the definitions for what the truth is. Okay, before we go there, Sandra, just wait. It was basically, because we are basically living in the information age. We are bombarded with information. And that's also where ISIS basically is gaining its foothold, because they are bombarding people with information that is false, lies, and leading people astray. And we have to be able to look at this truth, or not the truth, the information that we're receiving, and we are filtering out what is truth. And that's where my question comes in, is what is truth? Because you can look at all this information and take everything as it is, or ask, with what am I measuring the information I'm receiving? How am I perceiving the information I'm receiving? Is there an influence, and it's just that we are able basically to get whatever we want off the internet. Whatever information you need, I'm not a mechanic, but I can go to the internet and Google a specific part in a car that I want to fix, and I can actually fix it, because I can then go to YouTube, and they've got the videos to show me exactly what steps to follow, and how to take it apart, and how to put it back together again. And fixed. 10, 20 years ago, to do that would have been pretty difficult. Now, unfortunately, that goes the same for bombs and negative things as well. So there was a small joke that I had. The question is not to be or not to be. It is to Google, not to you, Yahoo. I don't like Yahoo. I like Google. And that is where the problem starts, because it is open to everybody. And then I basically went to the definitions of what truth is. The simple definition, the truth, the real facts about something, the things that are true, the quality or state of being true, a statement or idea that is true or accepted as true. Now, I highlighted that part because that was quite a game changer in the definition of truth. It is something that you accept to be true. Okay, so what is true? Go to the definition of true. Okay, it might be a bit longer, but it is there. The simple definition of true. Not false, fictional, illusory, factual, or factually accurate, confirming with reality, phenomenal, being of real or natural origin, genuine, or not synthetic, true leather. Okay, unswervingly faithful and loyal to friends, a cause, a true follower. And then the highlighted part, a faithful to a particular concept of truth, especially religious truth, a true believer. And I will stop there. So what is true for you? It's the concept that you have, that you accept to be true. Truth is not truth that we or I interpret it to be. Truth is not something that's unshakable, unmovable. It is something that is being propagated to us as shifting, moving constantly. It is not fact. Fact, okay, I've got the definition for fact as well. And this is the saving grace that we have. So pay close attention to this one, because we'll come back to this one. Okay, something that is actual, that actually exists, reality, truth. Now we're back to truth again. What is truth in the previous definition? Is it the same as fact? So if you start equating truth with fact, it does not become obsolete anymore. It shifts the whole time. As you perceive it to be, it will become. It's very shaky ground. Okay, something that is known to exist or have happened. And then the next, A truth known by actual experience or observation, something known to be true. I'll stop there. We'll come back to this part a bit later because that's something that we can actually now say, but that is true. And it equates to something that we as Christians should know, have in our hearts. And it's something that Auntie Dora shared this morning, our testimony. It becomes true to us because it's not just something that we read. We sit here in the church in warm chairs. It's not just a religion. It's a life-changing experience with having a relationship with the living God. What we're experiencing, it's changing our lives. But the same can be said for the terrorists and the jihadists and the ISIS, but it's in a totally negative context. Because it might be that they also have experience like that, but it's something that they experience, so that becomes then their reality, how they interpret things, the way that they look at the world. And for us as Christians, what do you base your word on? Ah, Nudia, you're the perfect subject. I found you. This whole morning I was looking for somebody to really knock, but not knock, but knock. But you're the perfect candidate, so I will call you just in a little while. Think about that for a while. Amen. Okay, and this is where this truth basically comes in now, because if truth is not what I thought it was, what is it? Because that's something that's really amazing and yet scary to think about it, because it is something that is not set in stone. It can change. Because my truth and your truth, it might be two totally different aspects of the reality that we look at. Which is not impossible. It's quite frankly quite possible. And it's one of the aspects that I'm very interested in. That's the question regarding evolution and creation. I love looking at that. I've got a website called creation.com. There might even be a reference a bit later. And I love the information because they are Christian and they based everything that they believe on the Bible. So everything that they look at, they basically look, if this is a looking glass, they will look at the world and say, yes, the Bible says that about that, so I can accept that as true. It's a fact. Because many things that the mistake that we sometimes make is that we look at the world and expect them to give us the truth about everything that is supposed to be true, if that makes sense to you. Probably not, but it's okay. And that usually ties in with evolution, because something now has changed and shifted, because the Word of God states that He created everything. Everything that we see, everything that exists was created by Him, as stated by His Word. So either you accept it or you don't. There are no half measures here. If you thought there was, come to Bible school and you'll quickly find out there is not a halfway point where you can say the Bible was wrong there. And if you start saying that, you're on a very slippery slope going down away from God. Because as soon as you start questioning the accuracy, the veracity of this word, you will have to start questioning everything that you believe in this word. Ending at the cross with Jesus Christ. Was He the Son of God? Was He the Messiah? And it's questions that's real. It's not something that we can ignore, because there are people asking that questions today. Can you defend it? Nudia will try now. And it's in a place where I was basically preparing this word to say, but we have to be aware of this fact that truth, as we perceive it to be, is not actually the truth as what people in the world might perceive it to be. It's a totally different thing. And evolution comes back to that point where people are believing something contradictory to what the Bible teaches. In actual fact, they're trying to prove it scientifically. They're stating it, evolution is the truth. It is not being portrayed as a theory, it's portrayed as fact. And fact in their minds is something that cannot change. There is no way that the God existed and created everything that we see and everything that we are. That his hand is somewhere in there trying to reach us, to tell us he loves us. Various experiences, various points of their lives, where they're coming from. And I can't knock people because they've experienced terrible things. Because there are terrible things happening in this world. We cannot ignore that. And we have to defend a good and righteous God. What is truth about God? What is fact about God? When all these terrible things are happening in this world. Now, I'm not here to be negative. So if you're feeling negative, please put that in a small box on the side. There will fall light on that small dark box just now. Amen. But it's questions I'm asking so that we are awake and being able to defend what we believe in. Not as some ridiculous story that we are following blindly. It is good if you believe the Bible, but you cannot believe it blindly. Okay, it might be contradictory, so strike that from the recording. What I mean is that I believe the Bible, but you must be able to defend the Bible. Not necessarily you defend God, but you must be able to defend what you believe. Why do you believe what you believe? Why are you sitting here in this church listening to this word when you could be outside somewhere else doing something really nice, playing golf, driving with your bucky in the dunes? There's a reason you are here. There's a reason you are hearing these words. And these words are challenging. And they are meant to be. Because if you look at Jesus and his example, he was challenged every step of the way to the cross. And the road to the cross was not an easy road, because Jesus knew where he was going. And that just blew my mind, because he knows he's going to the cross to die. And people are trying to tell him who he is and who he is not. And that he's demon-possessed and that he's not. Who was Jesus? Do you know? I thought I did until this morning. And then I realized I have no cooking clue who Jesus was. I've got a small concept of who he was. But he was an amazing person. And that's now something that I will just reveal. Just a freebie. Sandra, the part about the Bible, if you have that. I'm not sure if it will. It is just a freebie that I will give to you. Something that's in the Bible school. Before that, the picture. Yeah. Okay, go to the picture before that. Sorry, I'm teaching now. The one with the odd drawings. Okay, the medical students might know what that is. Rikus, what is that? Okay. Have you seen it in a textbook? You have. Can you bring us that textbook next week? Okay, this is now just a part of evolution that I want to bring home to you. That people are proclaiming something that is fact, that is actually fiction. And you could go on the website and see, because this is a picture that was drawn by, I can't remember his name now out of my head. Hink. What was his Hinkert? Ernst Hikkels. Sorry, I did not put the name up there, but this was a drawing that they basically used to promulgate evolution. Because they said there was a common denominator with the embryos at the start of the cycle. And then as they progressed, they basically changed. But this has been proved to be fraudulent. It's false. This is wrong. They've updated this to be something totally, completely different to what is currently still in textbooks and in encyclopedias in the world out there. Now, it's shocking for me that some people can actually say, but this is truth, and allow it to stay there, because then the question is, aren't they running now to the publishers and telling, listen, this is wrong. You can't put that in there. It's false. But it's still creeping into textbooks of science and regarded as fact, which it is not. So truth is being very subtly manipulated as it fits certain people's agenda. And we either can be accepting of that, and I was a very staunch supporter of long age evolution with a biblical tale. Well, I was a Christian with a evolution tale, you can call it that. Because for me, it did not make sense that there was this proof from science that the fossils, the world was billions of years old. But inside of me was a battle, because if evolution is true, I have to disregard the first chapter of Genesis. I have to tear it out, because it doesn't conform with my scientific brain that everything was not created, it sort of evolved. So I have to throw out these few pages. But it's difficult, because it's the Bible. So there's this conflict in me between two truths. And it's two truths. In today's world, you can go look it up. Evolution is true. Creation is true. So which one is truer? You have to decide. What do you believe? Where do you draw the lines of people like me telling you that this book is real? This is the Word of God. Fact. History. Not a story. His story. Where does fact begin and fiction end? Okay, just this next drawing. Ach ja, this one. This is just a quick tidbit that I wanted to give you. And this applies to manuscripts that was found. Because who knows Julius Caesar, Plato. The other names, they are, I don't know who they are actually. But Plato and Caesar we know, most of us. How do you know Caesar existed? How do we know Caesar existed? We have historic manuscripts that explains who Caesar was, who the Roman Empire was. And there are many things in history that we can point back and say, but this happened because of why. Because we have written documents that says this happened on this date in this way. Is that true? Is that a fact? How do we know that? It's an interesting question that I ask myself sometimes. How will I prove to people that this Bible is true? I can point to information that I found on the internet that the Bible is true. But I do not have any physical evidence in my position to say that this word is absolutely true. I trust it with my whole life. I try to base my whole life on this book. What stands in there, what it represents. But do I know it's true? And we have to take the word of many other people, scientists, to tell us how big the galaxy is. I don't know how big the galaxy is. I don't know how many stars are in the galaxy. I don't know the circumference of the Earth. Or diameter. What's the word? Circumference. Diameter. How do we know these facts? We are trusting other people to give us the facts. How far do we trust them? Is now the question. How far can people trust the word of God if it's not fact or true to them? Even fact is if it's not true or fact to us. How can you take this word to people out there and give them the hope and the life that is within, between these pages? I'm challenging you because you need to know this. You need to be able to defend what you believe just as Jesus did. It is important for us to go to Bible school to give an account of why we believe what we believe. And not just giving fairy tales of Jesus on a cross. And that sounds harsh, but that's what people look or think of Jesus sometimes, because it's just a story. When in actual fact, there are more manuscripts of the New Testament, and you can look at the number there. The bottom number is basically the number of the amount of manuscripts available for only the New Testament part of the Bible. And the amount of manuscripts available to just indicate who Caesar was and Plato was is 7. 10 and 7. That is what we are basing our truth and facts about Julius Caesar and Plato on. I think she's upstairs. So what do you believe? Why do you believe what you believe? I think I've made my point. Okay, just go to the next slide. I will not read this, but it's something you can read. And this is now somebody that said this after this. Why don't people believe the word of God? And it's exactly what he states here. Some critics doubt that we even have the original New Testament. The issue can only be settled by using bibliographical tests for reliability similar to what would be used to judge the Iliad or Caesar's writings. Next. Is there not a next? Ah. Yeah. Is this the one? The New Testament was completely written by baptized Jews in the first century AD. We have at least 24,000 manuscripts of the New Testament, and these are all references that you can, I will give to you if you want them. The earliest known manuscript is okay, you can read that. Go to the next part. That's all they have. No, there was another part that you missed. Okay, I have to read it then. Okay, but you see that, yeah, so those are the amounts of manuscripts that they found for the New Testament. And then a scholar, F.F. Bruce, that lived from 1919 to 1990, made this statement. The evidence of our New Testament writings is ever so much greater than the evidence for many writings of classical authors, the authenticity of which no one dreams of questioning. And if the New Testament were a collection of secular writings, their authenticity would generally be regarded as beyond all doubt. This book is true because history says so. And there are many aspects of it that I will get to as well, why it is true for us, for me, for you. Evidence that you can clearly see. But now I've gone too long on this one. Nudia, you're next. Stand up. You've been called to court. I actually want to give you a mic. Come stand here. It's very, very onrechtvaardig. Okay, I will just ask a question. You just, who was Jesus?
Jesus is the Son of God. He is God, the Son of God, and He is truth, the way, and the life.
How do you know that?
Well, I think both experientially and scripturally and historically.
How do I know your experience is true? How can I trust your experience if I can't trust truth?
Well, you'll always have your opinions about my experience, but if you know me long enough, then you'll be able to experience my fruits, and you'll be able to, I think when you put me on the spot earlier, my mind raced, and I was thinking about, there's in psychology something they call, I can't remember the name, it's a something Krieger effect that basically says that there's certain areas in life that we know nothing about, but the problem with knowing nothing about something is that we don't know how little we know about that nothingness and how completely disillusioned we are about the subject. And I think that's what happens often with this creation debate, is that people don't understand quite how delusioned they are. And I think that's the same with Christianity, and hopefully that'll come out if you spend time with a real Christian. You'll see that they experience and really know Jesus.
So where do you get your facts from?
My vrouw.
Good answer. Okay, his answer should have been the Bible. So my next question would have been, can you trust your wife?
Most of the time. My wife most of the time, Bible all the time.
Amen. Okay, no. Yes. Okay, that was now fun. But real life questions come up every day. People without hope are looking to us to give them hope. And it's not stupid people that want hope. There are very few people in this life that has such a great life that they don't ask the questions, the important, bigger questions in life. Who am I? Why am I here? What is my purpose in life? And this was where my boat was rocked today. Because this is something that every one of us asks at some point of time. I've asked it many times for myself. What is my purpose in my life? What is my purpose in this church? What is my purpose in my family's life? What is my purpose at work? What is my purpose? And the question comes back to, who am I? I'm going to give you 5 minutes. Write it down. I'm going to ask you this question because you will not remember the answers that you're giving now. But you must remember the answers that you're giving now. It is critical to the next stage of the sermon. I'm going to give you 5 minutes to this question. Who am I? That's your question. Final exam time. I'm serious. I'm waiting for you. You must get a pen. We've got paper. I'll give you paper. You must write it down. Write it on your cell phones. Can we get pens and papers for people that don't have anything to write on? Josh. Okay, anybody that does not have paper or pen, please put up your hand. I will arrange for pens. I will arrange for paper. I'm sorry if I'm testing you, but it's something that is important. It's critical for us as humans to ask and understand. And I'll be honest with you, I could not answer the first question. Who am I? Because I will start with, I'm Reinhold Pieterse. I am 38 years old. I am an engineer by trade. I studied at Stellenbosch, the best place to study in the world. That's the truth. My father is Richard Barry Pieterse. My mother is Pietru Esther Pieterse. My wife is Chriselle. I have three boys. There goes my math already. That's not the truth. Sorry, Saskia. It's a slip of the mind. Three boys, Willem, Vian, and Jean-Francois. Love you, boys. I wish to raise them godly, but that's not who I am, is it? Those are all things that I think I am, but I am not. So who am I? And this is where God just showed me a new path and said, here's the answer. Because Jesus also asked these questions. He was a person. He had to ask them, he had to answer them, because he was willing to die for what he believed in many times, if you look at the scriptures. But he knew his ultimate purpose was to die on the cross for us. So, I asked Jesus, who are you? Same question I asked you. And I got the answer from him. Because previously I showed you the New Testament, if it was secular writing, there's more proof of this word being true than any of our other historical data. And I believe that to be a fact and truth. I believe, I accept. Do you accept that truth? You don't have to answer, but I will ask you that question. So if this, according to my belief, what I know is fact, that the New Testament is the Word of God, and the word spoken by Jesus was the actual words that Jesus spoke while his time on earth was here. So I asked Jesus the question, who am I? And he answered, I am from above. I am not of this world. John 6, verse 48, John 17, 16. I am the bread of life. John 6, 35 and 48. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. John 6, 51. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. John 15, verse 1. I am the vine, you are the branches. John 15, 5. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. John 10, verse 11. I am the resurrection and the life. Who believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. John 11, 25. I am the light of the world. John 8, verse 12. John 9, verse 5. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 13, verse 6. I am the Son of God. John 10, 36 confirms. It's not what he said there, but he confirmed that the Jews challenged him on this, because he said, I am the Son of God. And that just confirms, I am. John 6, John 8, 59, and John 13, 13. And that I am is the thing that the Jews wanted to kill him the first time I said it. Yeah, they actually threw stones at him. History in the Word of God. He had to run away because they were going to kill him ahead of his time. They could not accept the truth that he was telling them. And what an awesome God we serve. Because I could not answer one question of who am I. This is but a few that I found this morning in a half an hour search. Who am I? He's all of the above and more. I'm not going to stop with that list. I'm going to go further with that list. This is my list that I compiled. The answers that I got from his word. Who am I? The next question. Why am I here? I don't know what your answers was. But here's Jesus' answer. I can do nothing of my own self. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is judged. Because I do not seek my own will, but the will of my Father who has sent me. John 5, 30. And this is the will of my Father who sent me, that all of which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day, John 6:39. Just two answers that I quickly found. And the last question on my list was, what is the purpose? What is my purpose in this life? And this summary just is amazing. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. That was the purpose of Jesus that he lived for. I wish I could answer that question in that manner. I wish I could have been in that temple when Jesus said, I am. Because he knew what he was saying. Most of us are still confused to understand the concept of what he was saying then. To say that he is the Son of God, therefore equates himself with God, saying that he is God. The Jews understood because they wanted to kill him for those words. Do we understand, grasp the meaning of the words of Jesus when it's based on fact and history from his word? What is truth for you? What is truth for Jesus? Can we trust his word? Because people are not questioning whether Jesus was real. Most people believe that he was real. Most people are questioning whether he was the Son of God, as he states he was. Do you believe that he was the Son of God? Do you believe what he's proclaiming to be there on the answers? I'm not even sure it's there. It was questions that I could not answer. And he could answer them with such power in a few sentences that I was in awe. Because there's a book that was written about Jesus that was says about he was either what a prophet, no, he was a, what was that book? More than a carpenter. Yeah, I can't remember the exact words now. He was either a madman, a lunatic, or deceived, or he was the Son of God. But if you look at the testimony of Jesus and what he did in this earth, in the history that was written, given to us, it clearly shows he was not a lunatic. He could not have done what he did, having been a lunatic, mad, or deceived. The question then comes down to, do you believe the miracles that Jesus did, that is described in detail in this book, as truth, fact? Where do you draw the line? How well do you know your word of God? The promises of God that is supposed to give us that assurance of who we are. I am a child of God. I'm called to be his son in this place. To do his will, whatever the cost. An answer I would like to give. And this morning I could not. My life changed this morning when I got this message, these questions I could not answer. And Jesus could answer them completely, fully, without standing back. So many times I give an answer, but I'm thinking, am I right? Am I right? Am I right? Jesus didn't ask those questions. He knew where he was going. He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was sacrificing. And that's the God that we serve. The grace of God hung on a cross, fully aware of what he's supposed to do, fully aware of the sacrifice it would take to save our lives. If we choose to believe, if we choose to accept the truth of who Jesus was. Adrian. I can only stand in awe of God's word, and I can only proclaim that Jesus is Lord, and He is the Son of God, and He is my Savior, and that I want to love Him the same way that He loves me. I want to see that change in people's lives that I've experienced over years and years, through mistakes, through the storm. Jesus changes us if we allow Him, if we choose to accept the facts that He gives us. So people will come with questions to you. Is Jesus real to you? Is Jesus the way, the truth, and the life? And can you prove it? And that's where our testimony comes in. We must be able to give a testimony of the greatness of God in our lives. I have many testimonies. You have many testimonies, but do we share them enough? Do we proclaim the word of God? Do we proclaim that He is Lord of all creation, of all that lives and breathes, of heaven and earth? Because He was not from this earth. He was from heaven. And we can just stand and amazed at who He is. I would just like us to sing a song. And then afterwards we'll do communion. But first we'll worship.
When Reynolds was speaking about this, about us not knowing the truth anymore, that is where the devil wants to really grab us. In Revelations, it says that God's people will go down because of a lack of knowledge. I saw a video clip the other day. You know that old saying, if you don't stand for anything, you'll fall for everything? This guy went to a university, and he started asking the students questions. And he said, if I told you that I'm a 7-year-old boy, would you believe me? And the student just said, well, if that is truth to you, then you are a 7-year-old. And with all the questions he asked the children, I can call them children because I'm old. All the questions that he asked them, they said, well, if it's your truth, if it's your truth. So the truth has become something that is relative. If it's true for you, then it's true. So it's very, very, very important that we stand for something. We stand for the truth. We teach our children to stand for something, that we don't compromise on the truth. Because that is, the devil wants to confuse us. And he wants us to not believe the real truth.